I'm on a mission to help high flyers just like yourself, who until now have let the fear of public speaking hold them back from making a bigger impact. Join me as I find out the secret sauce from the world's leading speakers to make your speeches more interesting, enjoyable to give, and impactful for your audience. That's the mission, and this podcast will get you there. My name's Victor Ahipeni, and this is the Public Speaking Secrets Podcast.
Speaker Nation, what's happening? Welcome to another episode of Public Speaking Secrets. I'm your host, Victor Ahipeni. Super pumped to have you here because we're going to go through some things that I think hold a lot of us back, not just in public speaking, but in a lot of different areas of our life. But in particular, I think it's the reason that a lot of you out there may be avoiding getting out there speaking or chasing those bigger events. And it is, of course, fear. I know Seinfeld said that 80% of people fear public speaking, and so they'd rather be in the casket than giving the eulogy at the talk, which is hopefully not where you are if you're listening to this, or hopefully won't be where you are once we finish with our session today with Ali Bursko, who is one of my friends. She's always around the world, but I don't know if Brisbane is sometimes still home, but welcome to the show, Ali.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So she's Ali is a awesome and highly successful business and mindset coach, and she helps people scale up from wherever they are to 6 and 7 figure businesses by overcoming a lot of the barriers that potentially hold them back with a lot of different techniques, one of them being like neuro-linguistic programming and working on a lot of the internal things rather than just having a structure to give a speech to overcome fear, because we all know that yes, that can be effective, and yes, that's something I help a lot of people with, is giving effective presentations. But if we've got too much anxiety, too much stress, too many things holding us back from even putting our foot forward, then it's going to be a barrier for a lot of our success and a lot of our things. So I'm excited to jump into that, Ali. Can you give everyone a bit of background about, I guess, why first off they should be listening to you in regards to this? Because it's a thing a lot of people don't want to necessarily confront when it comes to it, and kind of your journey to where you are now.
Yeah, sure. So I've been in business for 8 years now, and I started out as a personal trainer running mom's boot camps. I then transitioned into business coaching because I saw a lot of people out there struggling to make money, working crazy hours, but not really making much. And I created an amazing community and business with my first business, Power Moms, and wanted to help other people because of the success I'd had. So I started off with kind of like coaching, and then I added the NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, to, I guess, my tool belt. And then I've studied Spiral as well, which is from Spiral Dynamics and the Chakra System. And so basically with the NLP stuff, it's very heady. It's very much around changing your perspective and your perception of things that have happened in the past and also things from the future. And whereas adding the spiral to it as well, it's about releasing it emotionally, feeling it, and releasing it from your body. So it's super powerful putting those two things together, plus coaching, plus the strategy as well as the mindset work, because that's what gets people really fast results with what I do.
Yeah, awesome. And I mean, that's one of the big things is like, I've gone through some different NLP things at different times, and I think some of the best presenters out there, and some of also the worst, are using NLP techniques in their presentations. And I say that just because it is so powerful. Like, exactly. You're the superhero, and you can decide to be, if you want, you want to be in the X-Men, or you want to be in the bad guys. And I mean, that's the thing, that, NLP is great for a personal side of things. And a lot of once you understand it, even at a rudimentary level, like I do, you can see the different strategies and the different reasoning that people are using it throughout their presentations. And I talk a lot about controlling the narrative when you're giving a talk. Like, you want to be controlling that narrative and keeping people guessing so they stay engaged. And a lot of those a lot of those NLP, open loops and closed loops and different strategies to keep people engaged. If you use it very deliberately, you're going to be memorable. You're going to make an actual change with your message versus just being out there regurgitating that side of things. When it comes, because I know you've helped a lot of people with their speaking as well as their mindset and their stuff towards that. What do you, like, how would you explain fear when it comes to public speaking or just in general? Like, what is, on a deeper level, what is fear?
Yeah, so fear, we do have some fear from the past, but a lot of fear is like future-paced worry. So fear, anxiety, overwhelm, stress, they're all future emotions. And what that means is we're thinking about something that hasn't even happened yet, something in the future, and usually thinking about it in the worst case possible scenario in a negative sense. So with speaking, for example, you're thinking about a speaking presentation that you're about to do or that you want to do, maybe you haven't even booked anything in yet, and you're holding yourself back from doing it from fear because you're thinking, oh, well, what if no one likes it? Or what if I forget what I'm saying? Or what if I'm boring? Or what if I don't make any sales if you're selling from stage? And you're thinking about all these negative things. So what I help people to do is release the fear from the past. So usually from the past, it's from when we're 0 to 7 years old, which is the imprinting phase. And that it can be from other times as well, but most of our beliefs are formed in that age bracket. And we go back using a thing called timeline therapy, and you change your perspective on the thing that scared you in the past, why you're holding onto that fear in your body. Now, with the future-paced worry, we can do things like an anxiety exercise where you go out and 15 minutes after the successful completion of the event. So you actually visualize yourself after you've done your presentation, everyone's clapping and smiling and, you know, you did an amazing job and you're so proud of yourself and you're getting all of those emotions up, the pride, the sense of achievement, the happiness, and you're noticing what you can see, what you can hear, and you make those colors brighter, the sounds louder, and really paint this picture. And when I'm doing it, I'm talking quite fast and like using my voice right now, because when I would take someone through that, I want to sound confident. I want to put that in them through my voice. And that's what it's really about. It's changing from thinking about the negative to thinking about the positive. And when we do that over and over and over again, it's creating a different pattern in our brains. So then we can go out there and be present and be able to deliver from that presence rather from that worrying about the future and the fear.
I mean, that's what I love, because I haven't got the same grounding in it, but it's a lot of the time, if you can, they say anxiety's fear of the future, depression's fear of the past, and looking at what is your worst case scenario. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, if I forget to say something, you're like, will it matter? If you forget to say something that nobody knows is going to come up in your presentation, they're like, oh, what if people boo me? How many, and then I go through people and I'm like, how many times have you been in an audience that's not a stand-up comedian or someone on Australian Idol or something, who's horrible, that actually gets booed? People will just grab their phone out and just switch off. They're not going to go to the effort of booing you. But, and I spoke at a podcast conference a couple of years ago. We had a time when we had like a few of us on stage, and we had this conversation about, and it's the same with speaking. People worry about, say, podcast download numbers so much, and they're like, oh, I've only got 50, 100, 1,000, whatever. It took it all back to, but what if you have one person and you massively impact that one person? Or if you have 30 listeners to an episode, if you had 30 people in a room, how much effort would you put in to putting out some awesome content to have an awesome impact? Like, even if you speak, if you future pace and you go, look, there's going to be an audience of 100 people, I might only, impact 50 of them positively. And then those people go out and impact, say, their businesses, and there's 50 businesses with employees and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, once you can, future pace and flick that switch and go, shit, that's like, that's 50 people, or that's 250 business owners, or that's, you know, 500 staff members. It's like, well, you know.
The ripple effect.
Yeah. And so with people doing, say, if someone was to do what you've just said with the, you know, the say the future pacing activity to prepare themselves mentally to speak or to take those opportunities, is that like a do it, you know, once a week, do it once a day, do it 10 times a day, and, you know, for how long kind of thing? How will they go about it to kind of make it a routine of some sort that they can, you know, make sure they get some sort of result off?
Yeah, well, you could do it once when you're, when the fear actually comes up and you realize that you are scared of that thing. So I've had people use it for, they've never driven a car before, so for driving or getting on a plane or public speaking or getting on sales calls. You can use it for so many different things. So when it comes up, you can do it then so that you're not feeling that fear as you're going through the process leading up to it. But then if you're feeling a bit of those butterflies or nervousness or whatever in, say, the week leading up to it, you could literally do it every night before bed. So it's not something that you have to do a certain number of times to, you might do it once and be, feel fine. But if you notice that nervousness or that fear coming up again, you can use it again. And it's something that literally takes a few minutes. You could even do it as you're about to step out on stage, you know. And there's a few other things you can do to get in state before speaking as well. And, you know, Tony Robbins uses these a lot to like pump himself up and things like that. So there's a couple of things you can do. One of them is anchoring. And that's where you can anchor, say, something on your physical body. So you can think about a time when you felt really, really confident. And then once your facial expression's changing, you can press on like your knuckle, for example, until that facial expression goes back to neutral, and then you lift your finger up. And then anytime you put your finger there, you're going to go straight to that confident place because you've anchored it in with the touch. You can do that as well with, like, you know, maybe putting your fingers together, because maybe you don't want to put your hand up and put your finger on your knuckle in front of a an audience. And when you are on stage, if you're feeling like you're losing your confidence, you could just press your fingers together and you get that rush of confidence back. Other ones are where you're like visualizing the room before you go in there, and you're really dropping into your body, dropping into presence, and dropping into the purpose of why you want to do this. So a lot of anxiety and fear comes from thinking about ourselves. And when we get out of our own head and stop worrying about all the things about us, and we think about our mission, our purpose, our why, who we're doing this for, then you really, you let go of the thing of like, oh, I'm going to be rejected, or I'm going to be booed, or I'm going to be whatever, because you realize it, like you just said before, you're doing it for that one person or however many people. And you, when you said that, it made me think of, I've had people that have told me through working with me, they didn't kill themselves. They didn't commit suicide. It's like I've actually saved people's lives through them signing up with me and the work that they've done with me and me just believing in them. And like, if I can do that for one person, like all my work is worth it, you know?
Yeah. And that's, it's a thing that we often forget and get lost in, and, you know, we're worried about how can I reach 100 people? How can I reach 1,000 people? And it's like, how can you, yeah, what do you want to achieve? Like, you want to make, I know you want to make, genuinely want to make people's lives better. If that means a person being alive, it's you're like, sweet, game over. Like, even if I don't get any clients again, like, you know, if I don't impact anybody else, I've kept somebody alive. And, you know, that flow on, that ripple effect, it's like has an effect of their families, or it has in a positive way and things like that. So that's super cool. And I love the getting into the state side of things, because I've been to some of one of Tony Robbins' events, and you work pretty much for 4 days on getting yourself into a peak state. For any Tony Robbins people out there, it's how fast can you do it? You know, click of your fingers, you can change your state. And what I think is super important for many of you out there is if you're going, like, figure out what you can do to get yourself in a state during a presentation. Like, this isn't something I necessarily have taught. I'm going to now from that. Find something that can get you into a peak during your presentation, because A, energy is contagious. But if you've seen people try and sell or pitch something from stage, there's this massive awkward energy that so many people who aren't confident in what they're about to sell or are scared to ask for the sale, they give this really compelling 45-minute presentation, and then they've got this 15-20-minute pitch coming up, and they're like, and so I'd like to just offer you this, and if you're interested in doing this, then just if you feel like doing it, just maybe fill out your name, and and it's just this, you can feel the energy shift in the room, whereas that's where you should be going, why am I here? I'm here to serve people. I'm here to serve them further. I need to be in a freaking peak state.
And
it doesn't mean being a rah rah rah, let's say Americanized speaker that comes out pumping their fists. It's it's being authentically you with a bit of energy on the stage, because that's super important. Well,
even it could be energy. It could even be a really super chill place. Maybe someone is very softly spoken and very chill and calm, and maybe they're putting that energy across. But it's like dropping into whatever is, congruent with your own kind of personality type.
Yeah.
And I think with what you just mentioned about the pitch as well, it's like a lot of people see a talk, like a presentation, as, okay, I'm going to talk and give some value. Oh, and now I'm going to go into the sale. Like, it's two separate things. And it's like when you flow between the two and you're just present and you're there, it's like, I have a structure when I speak, but I also allow myself to go off on tangents or whatever pops into my head. And that's where I find the gold is. Yeah. And I see it as one, my whole presentation as one big thing. It's not, hey, I'm going to talk and then I'm going to sell you. It's like I'm putting in stories that will help lead to the sale throughout it anyway. Stories from myself and results I've gotten. And I just do that quite naturally. But if someone's maybe starting out, they could kind of have a bit of structure, more structure to that. But it's not one thing and the other. It all flows, and that can really build the confidence as well.
Yeah, and I think part of it is like you say, having a degree of structure, but knowing that if you've structured it correctly in what you're delivering, showing results, overcoming different objections, like that's basically what a sales presentation is how many objections can you overcome prior, authentically and genuinely, and like, hey, you can do this. You don't need to be a millionaire. Hey, you can do this. Even if you haven't got a product, even if you're a solopreneur, whatever, you're overcoming those objections. So like you say, it just naturally flows, because you're like, okay, cool. I've overcome every reason for you not to sign up with me or move further. Here's this opportunity to actually implement it or do it or work with me further or whatever it may be. I think, obviously there's a degree of NLP in that as well with that. But I think, with people being able to, I love that picturing yourself 15 minutes afterwards. I gave a TEDx talk, and that's exactly what I did. I was meant to stay with my sister the night before, and I was like, no, it's going to be a crappy bed. I'm going to go get a hotel room. I had a bath, like, just because it had one that could fit me, because most baths don't accommodate 6'3" guys. And when I had a bath, I closed my eyes. I thought about what it was going to feel like being on stage, how much I'd wanted to be on that stage, how it would feel talking to people, the impact when it got online, and all of those things. And I was like relatively super chilled. Like we talked earlier, like you're still going to have butterflies. It's not getting rid of nerves. It's getting rid of fear. It's I want nerves. I want nerves before I play sport. I want nerves before I go, because I know that's got my nervous system peaking to put out an awesome performance.
Well, if you don't, it's not a big enough thing you're doing. It's just like, oh, this is easy. Otherwise it would be natural. And I really love in the book, The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, he says fear is excitement without the breath. So it's like, when we get scared or anxious, we're shallow breathing or holding our breath, and it's just like, just breathe. And when you breathe, the fear and the excitement are the same thing. So that nervous energy, it's really excitement. And so when you can look at something instead of with fear, with like curiosity and with excitement, then you're going to have a better, you know, a better, what's the word, experience.
Yeah.
And confidence builds with action. So whenever you're doing something new for the first time, or, you know, you're quite new to it, there's going to be fear there, and that's okay. And it's normal. And so just knowing that it's normal and having the awareness around that is one thing. And then knowing that if you've done that over and over and over again, it will become natural and you will build your confidence. So the flip side of that is that if we have all these goals, like say someone's never spoken before, they want to do a TED talk or something like that, and they're just thinking about it, it's like, oh, I'll do that one day. And the more that we think about something and don't actually do it, then the more that fear and that anxiety and that overwhelm builds until it becomes so big in your head that it's like you just physically feel like you can't do it. And it's like, just take the first step so that you can build that self-belief and that confidence, and that's when the fear and anxiety will go away.
Yeah, I love that. I want to just tap into one last thing that you spoke about, is that 0 to 7 years old, where a lot of our past fears and things are developed. What are some ways that people can look into that, or start addressing some of those things, and how might they manifest? Like, I don't know, I know that I'm probably opening a 12-hour conversation that we can have there. But yeah, just to give people a bit of an insight maybe on how they manifest and how they might want to start approaching to find out what exactly those things that they have developed are.
Yeah, so the best way to do it is with a coach, obviously, because sometimes we can't see the things that are going on in our lives that someone else with an outside perspective could see. So the way that I do it with my clients is using timeline therapy. And we basically go back to an event that pops up for them using this method. And we go back to that, and you take a perspective where you're looking down on the event and you find the positive lessons and learnings from the event to be able to change the perspective. So that's just part of that process. Now, if someone doesn't have a mentor, or they maybe can't afford it right now, or for whatever reason, and they want to start working on this stuff, I actually wrote out recently a whole big long list of all my shit that I want to clear. And it's things like, you know, if I find that I'm judging someone, or that if I'm scared of something, or whatever's going on, yeah? And I wrote this big long list of things that I can clear myself. And if someone doesn't have those tools, just writing it down and having the awareness around it is super powerful, and journaling on it and realizing, you know, where's that coming from? What maybe happened in my past to bring that up? Usually a lot of fear can come up when we're about to step out of our comfort zone and about to step up in a big way. So knowing that that's normal, and looking deeper into asking questions of yourself. Okay, this is the thing that's coming up. This is what triggered it. Why is this showing up? Where did that come from? What emotion showed up? And what are the belief systems around it? And what can I do moving forwards? What positive beliefs do I want to put there instead? And what action can I take to be able to move forwards from this? So that's just a simple kind of journaling exercise that anyone could do, really. But if they still are stuck on that and can't figure it out themselves, then definitely look at getting a coach or someone to help them through that.
That's I think it gives people an idea on the depth of the psychology of different things, of like, you know, yes, why am I binge eating? Why am I fearful of doing this? Why am I, you know, borrowing money or whatever, and maybe this is just me just verbalizing all these things that I need a journal, but it's those sorts of things that it's like, it's not like, oh, you need to start eating healthier, obviously. You know, potentially you do, but it's well, what are these triggers, what are, like, you know, getting this deeper understanding, and I think making yourself aware of them for starters, and then you know, getting someone to help you, because I mean, Tony Robbins, I don't know if he said it or I've just heard it from him, but the fastest way to get from where you are to where you want to be is find someone who's already dredged through all of that
crap and model what you're doing. And I mean, I know you, I know a lot of your backstory, and I know that, you know, it hasn't been this silver spoon, easy road, rise to the top. But it's taken a lot of work personally and, you know, learning from others and then finding your own systems and stuff like that. So I'd highly recommend people, if they do want to, you know, get past that journaling stage and just fast track getting rid of their crap basically and take things to another level, then reach out to Ali. But if people want to find you, we'll link it all at publicspeakingblueprint.com. But if they want to find you, right this minute while they're listening, where can they go and what can they do?
Yeah, so it's just Ali Bursko, and that's me on my personal page on Facebook, my business page, and my Instagram. I also have a free group on Facebook called Seven Figure Mindset for Entrepreneurs. If anyone wants to friend me up or follow me, they can do that. And just shoot, if you're going to friend me up, shoot me a personal message and say where you came from as well.
Yeah, cool. Well, we'll link all of that at publicspeakingblueprint.com if you're traveling, walking around and haven't got somewhere to write it down. And as always, appreciate our chats and look forward to this getting out to a lot of people. And, you know, these are the secrets that a lot of speakers have already had to work through to overcome their own fears and their own blocks and in both business and speaking. And it's these things that are going to hopefully help take all of you to a whole nother level with your speaking. So I appreciate your time, Ali, as always.
Yeah, and, thank you.
Look forward to catching up somewhere in the world sometime soon.
Yeah, awesome.
If you want to fast track your confidence and impact with public speaking, then be sure to jump over to publicspeakingblueprint.com, where there's an array of free resources to help you no matter where you are on your journey to becoming a more powerful speaker. And while you're at it, jump over to Facebook and join our free community called Speaker Nation, where there's a ton of other like-minded individuals just like yourself looking to level up. Thanks for listening and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss next week's episode.